an unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Where'd everybody go?
Such a good question.
Very strange.
There's a lot of people on trips.
Yes.
Marie's on a trip.
Marie and Jop is too.
They probably just stopped partying.
Yeah.
And I've met you before?
Yes.
On Wednesday night. Is that right? Or here?
Here, like a year back.
A year back. I remember your face, but I couldn't put you in a place. Remind us your name?
Venkat.
Venkat. Welcome. And this is...
Jeffrey.
And...
Beverly.
And...
Wendy.
So, I prepared a chapter, and we're studying this Katagiri book about time and space, which is very interesting. It brings up all kinds of scientific thinking about our understanding that keeps expanding about time and space, which already is being expressed by Dogen Zenji back 500 years ago or so. So, and by Buddha before that. However, it's all over the world right now is there are thousands of people sitting. At Jikoji, it started 2 days ago. San Francisco Zen Center, every Zen center for anywhere is celebrating Buddha's enlightenment. The Vipassana people and the Tibetans celebrate it in May. Mm. They throw all the celebrations into one. But Zen pulls it out, and we have the enlightenment, and then we have the death on the 14th, 15th of February, and the birthday in April, on the 8th of April, and the first week of December is the enlightenment week. And people sit really, really hard and try to get enlightened during this session, which is never works, because it doesn't really work like that. But it's always been an important sort of pivotal time for Zen students to sit Rohatsu Sesshin. So I was thinking that I would talk about that a little bit instead of time and space, since most people are off in time and space. So since we're here, and the reality is that most people are sitting in our tradition right now, that we could talk about Buddha's enlightenment a little bit, that what drove him to sit was just not getting anywhere, that he tried and tried to get somewhere and tried to study and study with all of the great teachers, and then he gave himself up to the wilderness and starvation to see if he could overcome his body, and nothing worked. And finally he just gave up. And I always think that's so interesting. We're so proud of our ability to will ourselves into different situations and conditions that we think we can handle it and make it happen. But whatever it is, there's another element at work which humbles us, because we really, in the end, aren't handling much of anything. That we're in partnership with the energies of life, the energies of the cosmos, you could say. So whatever it is that we're doing with everything. And when Buddha sat down, he sat down alone under a tree. But his aloneness allowed him to begin to watch his mind. And his mind was full of ambition. He started with ambition because he wanted to overcome old age and death. And he found that he thought if he could be king of the world, surely he'd be able to control that. He thought if he had $1,000,000,000, he could certainly control that. He thought if he could best an army and just attack them and be stronger than anybody else, that he could certainly overcome old age and death. And each time he realized that he couldn't. And finally he just, in a way, abandoned the effort. You can't say he gave up. He said he saw the house and how it was built, and saw that it didn't need to be built at all. That the house of the condition of being somebody important and willful was just an exercise that we do and call it myself. And he said, this house isn't going to be built anymore. And then he was challenged from heaven to say what gave him the right to say such a thing and be in such a condition. And he said, earth is my witness. The earth says it's okay. You belong to the earth. It's not up there. It's right here, right now. That what we look for is already. Even though we have to look. It's a strange exercise, but if we go through, for instance, a sesshin, a week-long sit, we find in the beginning that even though we know perfectly well that there is no goal, you could say, to sitting, that there is no gaining idea, that invariably, as soon as we sit down, we have a gaining idea. We think this time we're going to dot, 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 whatever it is that we think we're going to. If we remember an occasion before that was really quite wonderful, we can try really hard to get that again. You never can do it. You never, never can do it. But after sitting for 3 or 4 days, it all just falls away. It just is a hopeless exercise, and you begin to see that, oh, being, you know, we're wasting our time here doing this. Why don't we just sit, put our butt on the ground, and see what happens? And that opens up a whole different kind of softer mind and a curious mind. So instead of thinking, I'm going to do something, begin to think, oh, what is this? What? How do I know anything? The Koreans call that sometimes don't know mind. I don't know. And oof, that whole pressure of trying to know something and achieve something goes away. For Buddha, it was a really big experience. So big that it's lasted for more than 2,000 years. But probably many people had it before Buddha. In fact, when you look at the lineage that we have, the lineage chart, it starts with 5 Buddhas before Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. Names, 5 names. Forgotten what they are. And before those Buddhas, there was an Ur-Buddha, and then an Ur-Buddha before that Buddha. It just, I think, as human beings, we always have to sit down and tackle our own hubris, our own pride and ambition, and connect. And what we connect with is with everything. It isn't that we get something, it's that we drop this effort to be somebody and realize that we're with everyone already. It's a big family. Huge. And Buddha didn't go off and be some kind of fancy fellow either. He just walked around. He walked miles and miles. Begged for his own food. And talked with people. Just met with people. And met each one as they were, as they are. Very plain, very simple. So, I thought we could sit for a little while more in respect for the effort that everyone's making all over the world. But are there questions or comments? Wendy?
I relate to the preceding his sitting under the Bodhi tree he received a bowl of rice and milk from a lady. And that just seems to set the stage that it was, you know, he took nourishment for human contact.
Yes.
Before he went off by himself.
Yes, he broke all the rules.
Right, his because, abstinence.
Yes, yes, and he was with people who were horrified that he did that. Because he was not supposed to do that. The only way you could do it is to starve yourself. And he accepted food from a person and then spoke to a person soon after. So he immediately started connecting with people even before he found his friends. And what he did was take off and go walk 100 miles to see his friends and explain to them that maybe they didn't have to be doing what they were doing. There was another way. Beverly?
Well, when I feel anxious, I don't want to sit. And I think it might be because even though I've been told a million times, and I kind of know, don't sit to get anything, I think part of me is thinking, well, but you're supposed to be calm when you sit, and if you're anxious, it's not going to work.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, I know, but I think that's why it's really hard for me to get myself to sit. I mean, I really, and sometimes I won't do it.
That's the argument.
Yeah, yeah, I think part of me thinks, well, I know you're just going to get worse, you're going to feel more anxious, which is maybe true, but it's not an excuse not to sit. But
is it true, though?
Sometimes I get more anxious, yeah.
More anxious.
Oh, sure, because, you know, if you're anxious, you don't want to be still, right? You feel like there's something you've got to do or that's important or you're not safe, and so sitting there's not safe because you're not doing something or, you know.
But if you allow yourself to not do anything for more than 10 minutes, usually that impulse.
Oh, it's not like it makes me, you know, horribly anxious, like I explode or anything. It just, sometimes I just sit there listening to my heartbeat or I just feel like anxious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what it's supposed to be like when we sit. You know, we think we have a picture of this ideal, I don't know, golden light or something, deep peace or something, but that isn't what sitting is. It's at all. It's giving us a chance to see how anxious we are, if we're anxious, really. or
I'm
what
not
it,
always anxious, but frequently.
Right. Well, I think everybody is at one point or another. So, and these days, probably more than most. So, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
That's why sitting with a group is so valuable, because you can't get up and do something.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't have said if I were at home. So I thought. Our group does do Rohatsu, but we do with in people's houses, and there's not too many people that live nearby here, so I thought I'd come here and do. So I'm actually am doing kind of Rohatsu a little bit.
I see.
It's coming sitting with a group nearby my house, which is what we do. So.
Yeah. Well, sitting, that's hard to say. It's the extra step that we take that takes a little bit more oomph than we're used to in our life of just doing what we have to do. It takes the extra effort of attention. Actually, and that's what this chapter is about how whatever we're doing, if we actually pay attention to it, it becomes a totally different experience. That mostly we're just gliding over the top of everything, just trying to get somewhere. And of course we never get anywhere because we're always trying to get somewhere else. So coming to sitting just means, I don't have to do that. I'm already there. I'm already here. And then body, mind, let's just stay for a while. It's like going to visit grandmother, you know. You just put your feet up and rest there. Well, let's sit.
Turn that before you're off.
Oh, sure. I don't see it on earth.
Probably the red button.